Hi, this is Matthew Cutler-Welsh, and thanks for tuning into this special episode of the Passive House podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Talina Edwards, the Director of Envirotecture. Talina's been a guest on the Passive House podcast a number of times, and she's also been a popular speaker at Passive House conferences. She'll be well known to many of our audience, and I'm excited that she will be joining the program to talk about a particular project that I think is a great example of how Passive House is being applied in Australia and also to warmer, drier climates. So I hope you enjoy this discussion, and I hope it inspires you to register for Reimagine Buildings and hear more about some of this exciting work that's happening in my part of the world, and also learn from others who are facing similar challenges. So here is my quick catch-up with Talina Edwards. Well, welcome back, Talina. Great to have you back on the Passive House podcast.
Thanks for having me here again.
Again, yes, you're a bit of a frequent guest on the show, so people can check you out on previous episodes 128 and 146, one of our early interviews, but then also more recently with what you were up to at the time with Envirotecture. How's that all going?
Oh, it's been great. It's really awesome to have such a supportive team and collaboration and just kicking more goals together across the country. It's been good.
Excellent. And, of course, you were a headline event, I think, at Thrive 23, you and talking about the Huff and Puff House and the exciting research work that you had done.
Yeah, so both my co-director Andy Mullow and myself spoke about a design competition entry we did about the little pot of gold. So that was really good fun to sort of look at that in terms of operational energy and embodied carbon. And, yeah, we were the first cab off the rank with a live conference, which was a bit daunting at the time because we'd been online for so many years.
Yeah, that's right. It was one of the first mass events after everyone doing online events for so long.
Yeah, but it was really good fun and it was really well received, and we're still hearing people talking about that and the lessons learned. So it's really been great that that's kicked off some of the conversations in the industry around embodied carbon and really starting to track that a bit more. So it's been good.
Yeah. Which has kind of led us to reimagine, because Zach also spoke. He beamed in virtually, and I was there, and a lot of what was presented at Thrive and other Passive House conferences last year have kind of informed some of the program for Reimagine that the accelerator is putting on this year. And I'm very chuffed that we were able to have a little bit of attention. And of course, as the event progresses around the world, we will be looking at projects in New Zealand and Australia. So we are going to have you on the program, which is fantastic. Great to have you representing this part of the world, among others. What does all that mean for you? What does Reimagine Buildings as a concept mean for you?
Yeah, I think it's such a great topic, because when Zach and your team, all put together that bring back that punk into Passive House, it was really kind of inspiring around that celebration of creativity and the power of human imagination to get people feeling inspired again. And I certainly feel like in the past few years with COVID lockdowns and just everything that's happening in the world, we can all fall into that climate fatigue and doom and gloom, which is for valid reasons. But, we need that hope and that action to see that people are actually walking the talk and dreaming and doing. There's that excitement, and I feel like we need that motivation. So I'm really pumped for this event to see what's happening around the world, and grateful to be a part of it too. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it is super exciting. I mean, that's something that I've been talking to the team about and trying to promote with people who are thinking about registering, coming along, is the learning from others who have done something similar and hopefully transferable from other parts of the world, because it doesn't make sense to reinvent the wheel. And also we're kind of running out of time, but it just There's no point because there's a good chance that somebody else has already thought through some of the same issues, particularly those of us who are dealing with warmer climates. We're not the only warm climate on the planet. So it definitely makes sense to learn from others, but also share what we're learning as well. And I know you, and that's something that you've thought about. The other thing I know that you have thought about in your career and the work you do is the wider concept of sustainability. It's not just the passive house element, but you know, sustainability. I mean, that's kind of around your origin story in what you've been doing, which I think that that is also going to be an exciting part of Reimagine.
Yeah, I think so too. About we obviously all know in the passive house community that it's such a big part of the puzzle in terms of reducing carbon and getting that you know, healthy buildings and leading to a healthier planet. We know it's a no-brainer, but how can that be integrated with all of these other sustainable and regenerative goals, I think, is that bigger question. And helping bring more people along and to be inspired that it doesn't have to be just this building science box. It is way bigger than that, and yeah, looking way more holistically about why can't you do a bit of everything else too? Why, it, to me, it doesn't have to be too hard, and I think that's often the message that comes through with the passive house community. We do like to share our knowledge. It's very generous, as you say, so people don't have to make the same mistakes again. They can learn. That helps everybody progress a bit faster because we are running out of time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's all complex, but it doesn't have to be complicated. That's I know it's so easy to put things in the too hard basket, and I really do feel like this is an opportunity to go, it doesn't have to be too hard. There's solutions. There's options. We can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it, people.
In general terms, how is Envirotecture reimagining buildings?
Oh, good question. I suppose we're always trying to do certified passive house with every project. Some of them don't go and get the final tick on that. But what we're also realizing is with a lot of the projects that come to us, by the time we're looking at the brief and the site and what clients want, it's not that we start with saying, oh, this has to be a passive house project and this needs to be all electric or off-grid or whatever it is. We're actually just responding to the brief and the site and that unique situation, and it always leads back down these same paths to why wouldn't we consider those bigger picture regenerative goals and implement whatever we can on every project. So, yeah, we try and do that holistically as much as possible, as well as meeting all the other, you know, regulatory requirements or historical, cultural, budgetary constraints, all of that. But that ethos is so important to try and have it as an ingrained, underlying approach. Yeah, it can't be ignored. We can't ignore it.
How much convincing do you have to do these days, or do people come to you already converted?
Yeah, a lot of more people already have heard. Like the amount of work or the amount of the ripple effect over the past 5 years or so around passive house has been incredible. It's exponential that most people now have heard of it and they come to us with an understanding of what it is, that it's almost becoming, I feel, you know, we're almost at that point where you don't even have to talk about it as a standard. We're just more talking about the benefits and focusing on that, because who doesn't want all the benefits that come with passive house standards? So,
and does that include things like air tightness, which I know a lot of New Zealanders, a lot of Australians are a little bit hesitant towards?
Yeah, there's still a bit of misinformation out there, and so try not to do too much myth busting as such, but once we have those conversations and explain really what it's all about, people understand that it's not an issue. You can still open your doors and windows whenever you want, and it's about understanding those extremes of climate, which we do all experience. It's not all, you know, 22 degrees all year round.
Yeah.
We do get extremes of an awful lot hotter in most of Australia, and in many parts, you know, a lot colder as well. Yep. And that's becoming just more and more extreme at both ends. So, as you say, we're having to make sure we're dealing with shading and the summer condition as well as the winter condition.
Yeah. Now, without giving away too much, what are you looking forward to sharing during the conference?
Well, I'll be sharing a case study of a house we did that's been receiving a bit of attention here in Australia, which was unexpected to us because it was a project that started on the drawing board quite a few years ago now. Like, you know, right. Some of these projects, they take some time to kick off for various reasons. And so what's, I suppose, interesting about that is it has followed this sustainable or regenerative journey before any of those standards or codes or, you know, before we really knew about Passive House, before we really knew about Living Building Challenge or regenerative development, before any of those words were really in our vocabulary, this project was already trying to set out to achieve a lot of those things because of the site and the brief. So I think it's an interesting case study in that way. But also I want to sort of, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but I'm very keen to sort of bring us back to that idea, as you've said, we're trying to look forward here and paint this positive picture of what our future is going to look like. And so we've got this amazing positive message, but we've got this sort of negativity around, as I mentioned, we're not just in a climate crisis, we're in a biodiversity crisis. Mm. And in many ways it feels like it's this existential crisis of sorts across the globe as well. And so I suppose my presentation is going to provoke some of those bigger questions around our relationship to the earth and our care for it and what that might mean for each individual. And so there's, you know, an option for the audience to sort of reflect a bit about that and, in this holistic sense.
And how I'd really like to plug your work and some and this project and other projects that you've worked on is the local applicability of global concepts. And I'm really excited to see this growing trend from Australian designers, New Zealand as well, of a more local vernacular of building, but incorporating essentially Passive House, but with an Australian look. And it's a real emerging maturity, I think, of the industry that I'm really excited to show off.
That's really a lovely way that you articulated that, and it's often only someone who's looking in from the outside could express it in that way. I like it.
Well, I think, because there is a vision, and this is a common hesitancy of Passive House, of a typical, I mean, let's face it, German or potentially a Canadian, North American kind of look of a building. Mm-hmm. And there are so many great minds now, great designers like yourself and others coming through, thinking about how do Australians like to live, and how does a building in Australia, in a pretty warm climate, you know, places that can get really hot and dry, how can you build using the building science but respond to those requirements? And, you know, we're beyond the very early adopters that didn't have a lot to go with. They only had a PHP tool that you had to literally turn upside down to make it work because there wasn't even a southern hemisphere in it, to now, you know, just working in a much more localized mindset.
And that's definitely part of the story where, you know, when everyone was first learning about Passive House, you thought that had to be the start and it would drive the design process, but really it's not. And that's, as you say, that maturity is, the industry is catching up, that it doesn't have to compromise the architectural design or the response to the site or the response to how the clients want to use the spaces. It really is just a tool or an ethos that you can just be seamlessly interwoven and integrated because it's smart to do so.
Yeah, on the contrary, I think you've raised this in the past, and certainly other designers that I've spoken to have actually said that having some of those constraints is beneficial. So rather than being a compromise, it actually gives you some good constraints to design within and inform that design more intelligently and beautifully as well. You know, some of the, you know, designs have their own sense of beauty and appeal, aesthetic appeal, which is great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, people should definitely sign up just to see you and to see your hear about your project. But like I say, I'm really excited to show off some of our region's work to the world, but also connect with designers in other parts of the world that are doing similar things and really accelerate the adoption. So it's great to see that, as you say, it's not a linear growth in your part of the world, and we hope that that can continue to be an exponential growth and really, really get this out there.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan to me.
Thank you very much, Talena. Really, really appreciate it, and look forward to hearing more about your project and hearing from you during Reimagine.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Thanks for tuning in to this special episode of the Passive House podcast, featuring some upcoming guests for our Reimagine Buildings 24, happening on March 7th and 8th. Reimagine Buildings is a global online conference that will provide information, connections, and inspiration to make buildings that can change the world. Over the course of 24 hours, we'll circumnavigate the globe, unveiling a new innovative building project every hour, complete with actionable solutions and lessons from around the world. Also, earn AIA credits. RB24 live program sessions will be submitted for AIA CEs in partnership with AIA New York State. And for students, check out our scholarships and special student discounts. Many thanks to NYSERDA for being the stakeholder sponsor of RB24. Register now for Reimagine Buildings 24 and use the promo code PODCAST for a 20% discount.